The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in this morning, we do appreciate it. Maracanada is where we broadcast from. The barrage here at the D. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, producer number nine. So much more than a producer. Still to come this hour, Lou Finocchiaro on UFC 300. What a card this weekend. We talked to Jordan Sherwood about it yesterday. We'll talk to Lou about it here. Coming up, Jason Weingarten as well. And we're going to run that Nick Bakay OJ story. Nick Bakay, lifelong Buffalo Bills fan who had an encounter with the juice.
How long ago was that?
The encounter with the juice? That one was from 4 years ago.
Okay.
He had told it once before that. That was actually the asking him to retell it.
I was trying to figure it out from the South Point setup where they had you sitting.
How gray has my hair gotten, by the way, since then? My God.
I didn't even notice that.
Oh, I do. Trust me, I did. By the way, I focused on the hair. How much weight did I gain? Also, it's awful. So we'll get into all that. Before we get into this review of Michael Pena from The Ringer, his NBA awards thoughts, because he has an official ballot. He's one of the actual voters, and our thoughts on that. An update from Augusta, the Masters. Bryson DeChambeau, the first-round leader, has yet to tee off, nor has the world number one Scotty Scheffler, who finished the first round one stroke back. But I'll tell you who has and who birdied the second hole is Max Homa. Homa better go Homa if you know what I mean. Can't have him winning this tournament.
He is a guy I'll be rooting for, man. I don't have a single dollar on him.
Well,
if you saw it coming, good on you, because this season has been a little up and down.
I have to say this: if I make one more bet, it's kind of I cannot have Max Homa win the Masters and me not profit off it, because this will be a leaflet moment of all time.
Yeah, I'm gonna guess Matt Brown probably has already bet him because he
loves Homa.
Yeah, Homa and Burns are kind of his guys. He's not gonna miss out on. So I'm guessing he's probably already bet him. But Max is awesome.
This would be a moment in time. You have no idea.
It would actually be pretty massive for the PGA Tour too, because he's a guy with some personality who actually likes doing media and social media and all that stuff. And if we're talking about, you're kind of chuckling. Like PGA Tour needs some small wins right now, Gil.
I'm not chuckling. I'm chuckling because it's not so. It's yes, he would win the green jacket. Yes, there would be some just unbelievable pride for some of us, if you know what I mean. But more than anything, he gets to determine the menu of the dinner the next year.
Oh, my God.
And so get ready, baby. Matzo ball soup. I cannot wait for this. That's what I'm rooting for. All right, to the ringer. Michael Pena is one of the NBA awards voters. We didn't know, by the way, he wrote an article about this, and we weren't sure if he was an actual voter because he sort of skirted around it with the language. He said official ballot, but we couldn't tell if it was his official ballot or if it was like a legitimate official ballot. Turns out he is a voter. At least has been
he's
the last
voted
couple
in the past,
years.
Yes. Yeah. We know that.
Unless they took it away from him, then he's not a voter. All right, let's start. MVP. At five, he had Jalen Brunson. Four, Giannis. Three, Shea. Two, Luka. One, Nikola Jokic. No surprise, Nikola Jokic, minus 10,000, prohibitive favorite.
I don't think there's much of a surprise there. I think that's what's happening.
You know what his favorite stats were?
Luke over Shea is still a little annoying to me. But
it's a little annoying, but what are you going to do?
Yeah.
His argument-ending stats were 69.8 true shooting percentage in crunch time for Nikola Jokic and his league-leading on-off point differential.
This is a nut. Like, I can't wait to see what Denver does in the playoffs, but it's a tip of the cap moment to what Jokic has done since the All-Star break and even this Denver team in these last couple weeks, where it's like, yeah, we could probably let up. We don't know. We don't need the one seed. Like, we think we're good enough to beat everyone. Man, they are determined to get it. Jokic is still putting up big numbers in big time games. Yeah. It's been impressive.
I hope the people who prevented him from winning three in a row last year for their own reasons are proud of themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Defensive player of the year. Should I save that one? Now let's get to it. Third, Bam Adebayo.
Yeah.
Two, Rudy Gobert. One, Victor Wembanyama. Come on, there's one vote, baby.
There we go. Let's go. I like it. There's one vote.
Yeah, there's one. There's one. But to him, it's not particularly close.
That graphic's off. 10-1 on Victor. I wish 200-1 was available.
Oh my God. Yeah, don't pay attention to our graphic. What book is that? Yeah. It's not close to him.
We still keep getting a lot of questions about it, Gil. I'm 10-1. I made the bet finally like 10 days ago. The reasoning still stands on why I made the bet is that all this spike in national media conversation over Wemby, and now we're reading Ringer articles. 10-1, I think, is a bet.
Still hasn't moved. I told you I bet him again at 9-1.
Yeah.
And I timed it coincidentally the day that Draymond came out and said it, the day that Dennis Allen did, right after Gilbert Arenas did. I'm like, what genius timing. It's still 10-1.
Yeah. I'm not adding any more, but like I would make the bet if I didn't have it already.
Overall, the Spurs ranked 22nd in defensive rating. With Wemby on the court, though, they performed like a top five unit, an improvement of 7.3 points per 100 possessions. According to Cleaning the Glass, no player who's logged at least 1,000 minutes has had a more positive impact on their team's defensive rating ever. Sorry, just had to break that part. Okay, there's one vote.
Going to be an interesting conversation with Drew on Tuesday. He was not happy about this.
He wasn't? Nah. He's finally showing emotion about it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I think he's been showing emotion
for
a while.
No, he wouldn't even have a conversation with me. I love Drew. Sixth man of the year. Third, Norm Powell, your guy. Yeah. 2, Malik Monk. 1, Naz Reid. There you go, Naz Reid, people.
I think that is most likely exactly how it's going to finish.
You think Naz Reid is going to take this?
I think he is.
And well, Monk was just hurt long enough for that to happen.
Yeah. I'm not sure he would have won it anyways. Those odds never really made sense to me. These ones are off, too.
Naz Reid, I believe. Still, I think they're off. Yeah, it's much shorter on Malik Monk and Naz Reid. It's not that far. Yeah. Pay no attention to our odds. Most improved player. Can I move on to most improved player?
No, those are accurate. Sorry, you can get still plus 225. Actually, that's a good bet.
That was shorter the other day.
It was, yeah. I mean, so a lot of these awards, and it does make sense. We've been trying, like we've said this about defense player of the year a couple times. Like we're hitting the end of the season. So if the books think a favorite's a favorite, right, as you're running out of games, they'll move to more of a favorite. But I think Nas reading over 2-1 is a pretty good bet, actually.
I'm checking DraftKings right now because that
I've got
another add that to yet another strange thing that's happening in the NBA awards markets where you're like, why would I get, you know, Victor hasn't moved. This one has gone the other direction since earlier this week. And sure enough.
Right. But you're seeing that, right? You're seeing that with MVP. You're seeing that with most improved player. You're seeing that with coach of the year. It's because you're running out of games. Like, that's what everybody's freaking out about, how these Victor odds haven't gotten any shorter. It's, well, they haven't gotten any longer, though, either. A lot of these other guys that we're talking about, their dogs in other markets, are getting longer because we're running out of games.
Most improved player. 3, Dante DiVincenzo. 2, Tyrese Maxey. 1, Kobe White, per Michael Pina of The Ringer. Kobe White, who's still available at 7-1.
Hopefully my Maxi ticket gets home. It was the first NBA future bet I made last season, or heading into this season. I made it like last summer. These bets get so confusing when you talk about them timing-wise. Hopefully that one gets home, but I did take a little piece of Kobe White to hedge off. What was that, a couple weeks ago? I think I brought it up.
You know how Paul Carr just talked about how he bet Bryson DeChambeau after one hole? It was 1-under after one hole yesterday, 18-1 to be first-round leader. Is this Kobe White the equivalent of that, where it's like, well, I got one voter that I know is not going to vote for anybody but Kobe White. Maybe I should just bet the 7-1.
Maybe. I mean, you and I, in years past, talked so much about that kind of structured path of what you see with most improved player, and Tyrese Maxey fits that to a T. But what we saw last year was that system kind of get thrown out the window with Lowry Marketing winning it and Shea not winning it. And this is a very, very similar situation with Kobe White this year.
Until last year, all I ever said was, you don't win this from oblivion to being good. You win it from being good to being great.
Yeah.
Or you don't come out of obscurity.
I still stand by that's how it should be. Like JVT, I think, said earlier this week or last week with us that he liked Kobe White and he thought his leap was more impactful. I still think the the leap of going from star-esque player to true star near superstar level like Tyrese Maxey's gone is more impactful to a team.
Rookie of the year, no surprise, is basically the top of last year's draft. Third, Brandon Miller. Second, Chet Holmgren. First, Victor Wembanyama. Well, Chet was the previous.
And I just saw a tweet that Scoot's leading the league in assists this month. Are tickets still out?
Oh, can we cash our Scoot Henderson ticket? All right, this is the single most surprising one of all of them, Kelly. You ready for this? Coach of the year.
I know. This was the one that was most surprising to me.
Third, Mark Daigneault.
Yep.
Two, Jamal Mosley. One, Joe Mazzulla. Joe Mazzulla is 70-1 to win Coach of the Year. Joe Mazzulla of the Boston Celtics, who we can only assume that Michael Pena at the Ringer, this is whose vote we're going over. He's an actual voter. He led the Boston Celtics to not only the number one seed, but the number one seed going away, the best record in the NBA. They were flirting with a top 15 all-time record in the NBA. He's going Mazzulla.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's the same argument for Tatum MVP, best player, coach on the best team. It's not who I would pick. I don't even think he'd make my top five.
70-1. One man's vote.
I would be Mosley, Daigneault, Finch. 1, 2, 3 for me.
If that Finch in his top three. Wow. All right. Just one snapshot. We'll talk to Lou Finicaro on UFC 300 on the other side. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget to check out our new revamped website at VSiN.com. Everything on there that you could possibly imagine. Today, front and center, mid-season college baseball odds and futures from Aaron Moore. How about that?
All right,
you want
like
some
it.
College baseball? That's probably the only place you can go on Earth, really.
Yeah.
VSiN.com. Not to mention everything on the Masters, all of our cold Masters second-round predictions. EPL, obviously the Premier League, Monte Carlo, tennis, all of it. Michael Lombardi on Trevor Lawrence, of course. VSiN.com. Check it out. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, betting tools, betting guides, it's all there.
Did you catch, Sebastian Korda? Got robbed or something?
Oh, I didn't see
Monte Carlo? Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
no, I didn't see
yeah.
that.
Yeah, like, I'll pull up the actual story so I get the facts straight. But I think he got a bunch of stuff stolen from his room or something.
Oh, man. Can I ask one question before we get to Lou? Because I want to get to UFC 300.
Allowed.
The wind is
Yeah, it's going to be bad this afternoon. Yeah, it is going to be. We were talking about it during a break. Glad you brought it back.
Have we reached the point where, like, recommending anything is just ridiculous at this point with the wind?
It might be tough today. It might be really tough. You have Emiliano Grillo right now in his second round is 7 over par through 9 holes. There are plenty. It's only going to get worse this afternoon, too. Actually, these are not. It's not too horrible out there yet. The best rounds going right now are Pavone and Cameron Young, both 2 under through 4. Adam Schenck also 2 under. That's as good as you're seeing, though, right now on this leaderboard.
All right, let's talk some UFC 300 with one of our favorites, one of the nicest guys in the biz. It's Lou Finicaro, everybody, VSiN contributor. You can follow him on Twitter at Gambaloo. That's G-A-M-B-Lou. And he comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Lou, good to see you, man. And literally, as I said that, we went to we went to the bars.
We're talking to Lou the entire break.
The whole time.
Just drops.
Right to the bars. Well, it's an exciting intro, ladies and gentlemen. We'll try to work on getting Lou back.
I am excited for this fight card. I haven't bet anything. I'm so wrapped up with Masters and NBA. Like,
you and I are very, very open about it. We're not as big UFC guys as others are, but this 13 fights deep. And I was saying yesterday, I read a whole thing about, like, ranking them in terms of interest. The last is Jessica Andrade, and that's a great fight still. And she's, like, ranked as the last of the 13 in terms of, like, interest. But the main event, which Lou has thoughts on, Pereira and Hill, that's not even considered the best fight. It's the Gaethje Holloway fight, which is for the title. That's the one that is the marquee matchup of all of it. So what Jordan was saying yesterday was, it's an outstanding card. It might lack star power to some, but not to the diehard, who is just going up and down this card for sure. So,
but there's so many names on there though, like so many names that were pandemic stars and stuff like that.
Oh, for sure.
That all went. Everybody was watching UFC because it was the only thing going on.
Pandemic stars is so true. Such a thing. Who was your favorite pandemic star? There were so many of them.
Oh, man. There's Peter Yan. Peter Yan.
Peter Yan.
Peter Yan was a pandemic star.
Was Peter Yan the one that was in... was he the guy that was in a fight where he clearly lost and they gave it to
yes,
him?
Yes, I believe so. Yes,
that's how we remember
I believe
him.
So, yeah. I think that was a robbery win I had on a bet one time with him. Yep. I believe you are remembering that exactly right.
Let's... I'll tell you what I'll do here. I'll give you the fights on the early prelims and the prelims that Lou likes. Shall we do it that way?
Sure, that works.
All right, let's do it that way. And then when we get him, he can talk about the main and then the BMF title fight. He likes. Let's go to the. I'm gonna do this off the cuff here. Let's go to the early prelims. Early prelims. He likes. Bobby Green. Bobby Green minus 185. Bobby Green is going up against Miller in this one. Miller, I think, is the guy, if I'm not mistaken, he is the fighter that was in UFC 100 and UFC 200. And he was like, I want to be in UFC 300. He's the only guy that was in both 100 and 200. And so Lou is fading Miller on this. He's going with Green. Do we have Lou? Lou Finocchiaro, everybody, courtesy of the Progressive guest line. Sorry about that, Lou. Hope you're okay.
I'm sorry about that, too, doggone it. I don't know what happened with my Skype, but your producers were adroit enough to get me on the phone. My apologies.
That's okay. And let's just start. I was about to give your thoughts on early prelims and prelims, so let's start with Bobby Green, minus 185. Am I correct that Miller is the guy that fought in both UFC 100 and 200?
Yes, 40-year-old guy, great experience, extremely well-rounded. This is the fourth time these guys were scheduled to fight. Miller's expressed disappointment in Green for some of those misses. Green took one of those fight misses on like 7 or 8 days' notice, lost 30 pounds, went to the hospital, and now Green has a chip for Miller on this fight. Even though Miller's 40, Green's 37, but Green is faster, quicker, more athletic, much more violent, definitely will have an advantage striking. And while most people will give Miller the advantage on the ground, I will not. Bobby Green's wrestling is tremendously underrated, and he's every bit the favorite that he's lined at currently.
All right, let's do 30 seconds on these next three because I want to get to the two big ones. But you are fading Jessica Andrade with Marina Rodriguez here.
Yes, I am. I think Andrade, the key to this handicap, Gil, is that this is Andrade's sixth fight in 15 months. She's gone through a divorce. She's had to pay for it herself. She needs the money. I think she's compromising herself against a much longer striker in this matchup who's well matched against her.
Aha, the divorce fade, Kelly. The divorce fade. You like Calvin Kattar as a dog against Sterling.
Yes, Kattar opened plus 100, excuse me, Kattar opened minus 120, and now you can catch him plus 135 to 155, depending on where you shop. He's the legitimate 145-pound athlete, while Sterling, moving up in weight from 135, really needs to try and wrestle. He'll be outmatched on the feet by a deft striker in Kattar, and I really favor Kattar here in a strong performance.
All right, in the last prelim, we'll discuss light heavyweight, the most closely lined bout of the night. You like Jiří Prochazka against Rakic here.
Yeah, Jiří has been the more active fighter, and he's going to have a little bit of size on Rakic. Rakic blew out a leg 2 years ago against Jan Blachowicz, and he's coming back after a long time of being inactive. I don't believe in ring rust, but this is a long time to be away. Rakic relies on ground control time. 32% of his fights have been in ground control, and I think Yuri's too big and too strong for him to get to the ground, and for that reason, I like Jiří Prochazka in this fight.
All right, what most consider the best fight of the night for the BMF title. Gagey and Holloway, your thoughts?
A train wreck waiting to happen is Gagey, and Holloway is a pure warrior, willing to take on anyone. His first foray into 155, he fought Poirier about 3 or 4 years ago and put the weight on irresponsibly and took the fight with too short a notice. This time, he's learned. He's put the weight on correctly. He's chiseled and ready to go. Gaethje, meanwhile, the legitimate pedigreed 155-pounder. This is speed and precision, Holloway, against power and aggression, Gaethje. And I fully believe that even though this is five rounds, it exceeds the total and goes all the way to decision, where perhaps Gaethje wins a close decision based on the fact that the judges are trying to rule based on damage, and Gaethje has the power.
Your favorite fight of the night, the one you're most looking forward to?
Will be the main event, Pereira versus Hill. And this handicap is pretty simple for me, Gil. Pereira is a very powerful striker, and he's a monster at 205. The fact that he fought at 185 is a miracle. And really foundational to his fight game is the fact that of all his striking, 23% of his damaging blows come from leg kicks. In Jamal Hill, we have a fighter that was playing basketball last July and ruptured his Achilles tendon.
Ooh.
He's been sitting on the shelf trying to recover from a ruptured Achilles tendon, which I believe you know all about. And you couple that with the fact that he was targeting UFC 301 at the end of May to make his return. But because the UFC was struggling to try and find headliners for this event, and there's plenty of money and fame and notoriety involved with this event, Hill decided to accept the main event challenge, take on Pereira with only a 6-week camp coming off of a ruptured Achilles 8 months after he injured it. I believe fully that Hill is not 100%, and it would be irresponsible of me to suggest anyone bet Hill. I really think Pereira is a bargain in this spot.
Lou, sorry it was the truncated version, but we love you. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me, you guys. Have a great UFC 300, everybody.
You too. Lou Finocchiaro at Gamblu. Once again, in ascending order from the early prelims to the main event. He's on Bobby Green, Marina Rodriguez, Calvin Kattar, Jiří Prochazka. He liked Gaethje and Holloway to go to decision, and Alex Pereira in the main event. Kelly will have them all at VSiN.com/bets. Jason Weingarten next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Keep your eye on that Max Homa. For a limited time, we're offering 2 weeks of our exclusive betting splits for free. Just sign up at VSiN.com/splits. The VSiN betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes. You can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Take advantage of this limited time offer. It is limited. Visit VSiN.com/splits now to claim your free 2-week access to VSiN's betting splits.
Splits!
Don't strike out on potential winnings. Visit VSiN.com/splits and start making smarter bets today. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada here at the D. Yes, sir, you want to say something?
Homa with a share of the lead.
Max Homa!
2 under through 4.
Make it happen. Make history happen. The good kind. Jason Weingarten joins us from under a cloud of smoke, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at Spreadopedia. What's happening, Jason?
Good morning. You guys bet on Homa?
No.
No.
Did you?
I bet some top five on him live just because he tends to stick around once he gets in contention. But no, he was not on my pre-flop betting. I actually did not have any pre-flop Masters features, which feels quite good.
Yeah.
You can't lose what you don't bet.
Smart decision.
Yeah, smart decision. Believe me. He is the guy, though, that I said earlier on the show. If I am to add one more bet, it will be on Homa. Either, you know, let's say he's tucked close to the top of the leaderboard after today. Let's say let's just say for giggles, he's a stroke back. I think you will get a favorable price on him because the other names are bigger, right? So I think that there's an opportunity on Homa here that's coming before us. So we shall see. But right now, co-leader with Bryson DeChambeau, who has not yet teed off today.
How about the exciting matchup that me and Bill Krakenberger get to sweat today of Hideki Matsuyama versus Jordan Spieth? Decky 4 over par. Jordan Spieth 7 over par. Real battle down the stretch.
Jordan Spieth, in getting to that 7 over par.
Yeah, had quite a hole this morning.
Yes. What did he have this morning? He had a... Are you ready for this?
I believe it was a 9.
I don't know. Yeah, my thing's not updating well. But yeah, I believe he had a 9. He carded a 9 on one of these holes. So there you go. Jason, people want to know. I started the show today by saying that, you know, some stories I tend to think people are not making enough of. And then others, I feel like in some ways people are making too much of. Specifically regarding the Shohei Ohtani story, because I thought, you know, I think the mechanics of the betting is sort of fascinating and amusing, you know, from $10 all the way to, you know, bets of, what was it, 16,000, I believe.
160,000.
160,000, yeah. Pardon me, yeah. So like Andy Molitor was joking, it's one huge martingale from $10 to $160,000. Roxy was saying, did he feel like he had no edge on the $10, but a lot of edge on the $160,000? That stuff's interesting. But as far as people just absolutely just trying to say, oh, Shohei, it's clearly Shohei, where do you stand on this, and where is your opinion? We're all curious what you think.
Yeah, I mean, I like to make jokes, and I think it's funny subject to make jokes about. But you know, I also think if anybody comes out and says I didn't do it, here I gave my phone to the FBI, here's all my text messages, and Ohtani says he didn't do it. What else do you either believe him or you don't?
I agree.
When it comes to the logistics of the whole bookie better relationship here. Still incredibly suspicious to me that this credit bookie was just, you know, sure, here's more credit, you know, it's, you know, here we're just giving you more money and you're gonna pay it, and it wasn't suspicious. Like, I don't know any bookies that encourage their customers to commit felonies, especially against, you know, professional athletes, to get them their money. That just creates a whole another layer of problems for a bookie. But Ohtani says he doesn't do it, didn't do it. The FBI says he didn't do it. I don't know how else you can, you know, say he didn't, you know, he did it. If everyone, you know, if the FBI says he didn't do it, who am I to argue with the FBI here?
Let me ask you this about baseball. I saw this tweet this morning. I thought, I wonder what Jason thinks about this. This is, and I'm getting this also, you know, it was not only me. I sent one to Kelly this morning, but then now I'm getting it from people who aren't like really big baseball fans. And they're like, is this a big deal? This is from Eric Stenholm on X. I'm not sure if you saw this. So NBC just dropped Major League Baseball on Peacock. They said they're wrapping that up. ESPN is dropping their coverage after the 2024 season. Three teams, regional cable providers, have gone bankrupt and broadcast moved to free streaming. And then Bally/Diamond, 12 more teams on the verge of bankruptcy. And he concludes it by saying, Rob Manfred is killing baseball. I mean, when you lay it out like that, Jason, I mean, what are we talking about here exactly? Like, do we really, I guess let me put it in the most macro terms. When we were kids, horse racing and boxing were huge. Now they barely exist to the average person. Could baseball go that way?
Let me give you sort of an example the way I see it. You know, I play fantasy baseball. I talk to my friends about baseball all day. I have a group of friends I, you know, talk about baseball with pretty regularly. But it occurred to me a couple days ago, and I was telling them about this, that we all talk to the same exact people that we all talked to, yep, 10, 15 years ago about baseball. And there's practically been no new fans created in the time that I can remember talking to people about baseball. Like I said, I talk to the same people every day, and the lack of new fans being created is what I think is a major problem, because it's literally the same people that are around baseball pretty much over, yeah, a 10, 15 year period.
Yeah.
That's concerning.
If we can profit off it and we do betting shows, that's one thing. But yeah, in terms of the growth of the game, good God, it's anything.
Has baseball created any new fans in the last 10 to 15 years? I'm very curious if they have, because I haven't met any of them.
Yeah, though I still know pockets of the country, right, where like kids grow up and it's still their number one sport. So there is that. You know, it, you run into that group of people who are like, no, we all grew up playing baseball. So there, I mean,
yeah, like, sure, but like a lot of kids in this country grow up playing soccer too.
No, that's, yeah, but with, yes, no, that's a great point, because in soccer we used to say, yeah, but then they go and they play basketball or football if they're great athletes. Baseball, yeah, it's just, it's the same people. I think Jason's point is great. It's the same people. We talk to the same people about it. And the way you couched it, has it made one new fan? Obviously, it's made one, but it ain't that much higher than
right. Well, and compare it to how many they've lost.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Any baseball bets today, Jason?
Yeah, I bet the Royals. Royals plus 120. They've been pretty hot start the season. Hopefully, they can keep it up. And you know, I think they're actually a pretty good team. So let's see what they can do today.
Highest run differential in baseball for the Royals, who in the March-April sweepstakes are in fourth place with 9 wins, 9-4, tied with 9 wins with the Guardians, but with the extra loss in the whole March-April wins baseball bet. But yeah, they went to plus 39 run differential with their 10-run win yesterday. The Guardians are second at plus 35. Do you feel it's sustainable with the Royals? You think this is like with the Royals and Buccos, right? The Pirates started this way last year too. They're 9-4. They actually were the first, I want to say they were the first team to 20 wins last year, the Pirates were, and then Pirates things happened, right? Do you feel either of those two teams is sustainable throughout the year as a good team?
Yeah, like I always like to point out early in the season, especially like where we're at right now, it's so early still that I don't like to draw too many conclusions from early April, unless it's something I bet on before the season and it's doing really well, then obviously I was totally right and it's gonna be anything but good the rest of the way. But no, I don't know. I think keep it up. Yeah, probably the Pirates. Pirates probably, you know, I like them. I think O'Neill Cruz, you know, they got a shot. It's a weak division too, so.
Weak division, yeah. AL Central, slightly more top-heavy than the NL Central, so most would argue. Okay, what about golf? Anything on the ladies' tour? Because you're big on that.
No, there's nothing this weekend besides the Masters. Nobody challenges the Masters this weekend. I don't think baseball season really starts until Monday. You know, after the Masters, you really get into baseball. I don't know. I think we're still at the extended spring training. Don't get too concerned about what's going on with baseball right now, unless it backs up your preseason assumptions. Then, you know, obviously everything's right.
Yeah. By LPGA, I meant the NFL draft. Have you bet anything in the NFL draft?
No, I know Circa's putting up the market like a week from now. I have been kind of keeping my eye on it, but you know, it's kind of one of those markets that is, as years go on, it becomes less interesting. Or, you know, maybe I've just let other people kind of pay more attention to it now.
All right, Jason Weingarten, live betting the Masters. Perhaps he'll jump in further. Appreciate your thoughts on baseball in general, though, because I think that's fascinating. It is just broadcasters just falling by the wayside now for the sport of Major League Baseball. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good weekend, guys. Talk to you next week.
Jason Weingarten, that's Spreadopedia on Twitter. We'll come back. Nick Bakay's famous OJ story is running with the juice next.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers Game, live from Bar Canada, here at the D in lovely downtown Las Vegas. Don't forget about UFC 300, action-packed fight card, taking over Vegas this weekend. And DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of UFC, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any UFC 300 bet. Download the app, use promo code VSiN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate it. Chris Hartman. Hey, thank you, Chris Hartman, for those shirts.
Yeah,
he got us yesterday.
He popped by earlier. Right before the show, we were talking some golf before, so I did thank him.
Gil,
we forgot to yesterday.
Yes, thank you, Chris Hartman. Thank you, Chris Hartman. It's very nice of him. Gil, why doesn't Denver consider trading out of 12 versus a stretch selection? Mahomes, Herbert, Knicks. One of these things is not like the others. He's saying that he doesn't think Nix is worth a 12th pick in the draft.
Okay,
I think he's right about that.
I really read a lot about this, but, like, isn't his draft position, like, 32? I don't get the Broncos connection. Like, he's, what, minus 180 to go to the Broncos?
Because they were the only team that either had him in or expressed an interest. Like, they were right. Clearly the only team that...
So what's the thought process? They're going to trade back into the first round, or he's going in the second round to the Broncos?
At that time when it happened, people were like, oh, he's getting picked 12th.
Yeah, I don't know.
That can't happen. Buddhist man, I actually grabbed Max Homa in the without Scheffler market at plus 625 this morning on Advocate Skirmish.
Smart things.
Yeah. Thank you for using Advocate Skirmish as well. Michael Burns talking about what we're about to show. At least you got hair, Gil. Derby Dada. Is Scheffler still planning to withdraw if his wife goes into labor early, asking for a degenerate friend? That is the one fly in the ointment with Scheffler. Hold off, Mrs. Scheffler.
Oh, man.
You can control such things. You can't.
Yeah, if you can control things.
Trip Tepper. Tune into the CW for Major League Baseball in 2025, followed by episodes of Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Well, funny you should mention Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Nick Bakay has been kind enough to come on this show many times in the past. He is the voice of the cat in Sabrina the Teenage Witch, but he's really the brains behind Paul Blart Mall Cop, that Kevin James vehicle. Back in the day, for our purposes in betting, for those of us of a certain age, way before anybody was talking about betting on mainstream media, Nick Bakay was employed by ESPN. And he used to do this great segment, fictional segment with his wife, Robin, as part of it, where he'd be watching football games and he would say things like advantage push, right? as if he wasn't saying he had bets on things, but he would basically do a bad beats thing without calling them bad beats. This is like in the year 2000. Nick Bakay is also the showrunner for the show Bookie on Netflix. He actually came on this show to talk about Bookie when it premiered. You're looking at me. It's not on
HBO
Netflix.
Max?
HBO Max. HBO I'm sorry. Max. It's not on Netflix, right? HBO Max, pardon me. Bookie. And so Nick is also, though, when he comes on the show, the first couple times he came on, he also happens to be a lifelong Buffalo Bills fan. He grew up in Buffalo, and he had a run-in one time as an adult with O.J. Simpson. And I thought the story needed to be re-aired here today for a couple minutes because it really does represent the conflict many of us had in reporting the death of O.J. Simpson. Here's Nick Bakay on his encounter with the juice.
We only have a few more minutes. I'd love to have you on longer here. We got to do more next time. But can you tell, as a lifelong Bills fan, can you tell the O.J. Simpson story on the way out?
Absolutely. Well, I alluded earlier to the 4 years, four Super Bowl losses, and you think, well, that's as bad as it can get. No, how about the greatest player in franchise history, crime of the century? So it's that was, you know, the Super Bowl losses were the setup punch. That was the coup de grace. So after all that went down, I'm living out here in L.A., and I was going over to a public golf course to the driving range to hit balls, and you can't park anywhere near it, so I'm walking over there humping my clubs, and I see this completely shaded out SUV trolling for a good parking spot. It pulls up to me, window rolls down, and it's OJ. And, you know, as a kid who was, you know, probably, what, 12 when he rushed for 2,003 yards, mind you, in a 14-game season, I'm in conflict, you know, because he's still my childhood hero. He leans on, he says to me, did you park near here? And the little boy in me takes over and I said, no, I didn't. But I'm from Buffalo and I saw every one of 2,003 yards. And he's like, oh my God, someone's being nice to me. You know, this is a rare event. And he turns to me and says, hey, Buffalo, talking proud, which was this sort of sad local civic campaign back in the 70s when Buffalo resembled, you know, the worst parts of Yugoslavia economically. And he and I are having this moment, and I'm like, oh, my God. And he basically said to me, you know, hey, do you play here a lot? And I realized I could spend the rest of my weekends of my life in a foursome with OJ, at which point the adult in me, because at that point I really was busy on ESPN, and I realized, you know, that part of me tapped myself on the shoulder and said, I don't think you can do this. So I said, you know, I'm good. And I walked away, and I was completely completely conflicted and brokenhearted, but I, you know, I knew I couldn't go there. ESPN funny man tees off with, you know, expected, you know, it was a different time. In hindsight, believe me, I'd have played golf and just gotten the stories, if nothing else. But you know, I came home that night and I was absolutely ashen, and my wife said, "What is going on with you?" And I told her the story, and there's a long pause, and then she just said, "Just tell me he's not coming over for dinner." I didn't get any support. All I got was terror.
You know? I love that. The conflict between your boyhood idol talking to him. That's right. And then your adult brain saying, this is probably not a good decision.
Yeah, not now.
I just feel like that represented everybody yesterday who had the job of reporting the passing of O.J. Simpson, right? Like, you're like, okay. Even when we got word, when it was happening on the show, I'm just like, oh, this is going to be a tough one to navigate, you know?
Yeah, I think that was a perfect story. It's a lot of people that have similar feelings, similar stories. I remember when I was, I was just out of college. I was covering some sports in South Florida, and he showed up at a local big-time lacrosse game where his son was playing. And it was just to see everybody in like the stands, and like you could just see the murmurs like go through the entire crowd. And it's even then it was like, you're like, I don't know. Are you excited that OJ's here? Like, is it weird? It's a tough one to work on news wise. That's for sure.
And there will never be anything else like it, because the way that media proliferates today is not like it was in 94 and 95. You were too young to remember. I mean, the entire country was just riveted by, riveted in the most ironic of ways. Yeah.
We were talking after the show yesterday. I was telling you about during the car chase, when it was because I was living there. I was living in LA. I'm a little kid. And we were out of school. I remember being out of school. My little brother, for whatever reason, my mom ordered us a pizza. And I'm like 7 years old or something at this point, right? And the car chase is going. And
you're in LA.
I'm in LA. We're out right outside LA is where we're living. And remember, like, I'm thinking they brought it up in one of the documentaries and specials, how like pizza deliveries were backed up like 5 hours because everybody was watching it on TV. Never forget, like, my little brother crying like crazy over his pizza being so late, like that day when we were trying to order one. It was bizarre. Just bizarre.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, we don't make light of it because, you know, obviously, there's a horribly serious part to it as well. Before we go, I brought up something earlier in the week. I just want to close out the week with this. All teams in the NBA play tonight. Everybody plays Sunday. There are some teams that have nothing to play for. There are other teams that have everything to play for. There are other teams that have seeding to worry about. Have you landed on any kind of brain-dead moneyline parlay?
Yeah, I've landed on one. I'm at the point where I'm like, I need someone to talk me into it, because it is, I mean, there are some games tonight. Okay, Lakers, Grizzlies. Lakers a lot to play for, Grizzlies nothing. It's Lakers on the road, 15.5-point favorites. You're talking a minus 12 to 1,400 money line, okay? Nuggets at the Spurs. Nuggets battling for that one seed. You would expect them not to give up on that. I'm all the Western Conference teams battling for the one seed, I would include in this. So Nuggets, Timberwolves, Thunder. And then the Miami Heat. There's five games tonight where I think you could pick that favorite, and it could make some sense. I don't know if parlaying 4 to 5 games in the NBA, though, no matter what the situation is tough to get your mind around. So I don't know. I don't know if I'm gonna end up doing it or not.
Yeah, I would just say books who chirp a lot, don't limit your people who want to make parlays on Monday to $25 a parlay.
Yeah, the money line's already. I mean, I punched in a four teamer. It was like minus 220. I'm like, I have to figure out if I'm gonna do a four team parlay at minus 220.
We don't recommend parlays on this show, but in this rare circumstance, just had to bring it up one more time. We've done all we can do. Gojo and Golic are next. Good luck with all your Masters bets. Again, monitor the wind. See if it's you almost want to, if it's bad enough, just let things shake out for today, because it's supposed to be glorious over the weekend. And yes, for some of us, can't be Scotty Scheffler. Let it be Max Homa. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.